All right, all right, all right. Welcome to the KNS Radio Network. I'm Kevin Keith. Here we are on a Wednesday. Appreciate you dialing us in. Got a full hour for you this morning. First off, the KNS Radio Network community-minded partners bringing you all this great programming. We seriously couldn't do it without them. We've got Center Township of Clinton County, Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gym City Junction, Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch, Sanford and Daughter in Mulberry, Live for Life Indiana, Lebanon, plus Pizza Hut of Frankfort, and ProBuy Computers, all from the KNS Radio Network. Well, there's plenty we could talk about, and later on this hour, I'm going to be having Tony Cardwell joining me as a guest on the phone. And who is Tony Cardwell, you ask? Well, Tony is running for Washington County, Indiana, Commissioner District 3. That is down in southern Indiana, where I'm from. That's from my county. And Tony and I go back quite a ways. He was like 4 years older than me in high school. So I kind of knew him there, but not a whole lot. But later in life, we became friends and served as Masons together at the Rob Morris Masonic Lodge in Camelsburg, Indiana, which is now defunct. They kind of merged with Salem and Mitchell, as it was one of the smallest Masonic lodges in the state and one of the oldest. So it was pretty cool to be a part of that, as it went back in my family many generations, and it was pretty neat to do that at the time. But that's how I got to know Tony again. And Tony, back in the May primary down in Salem in Washington County, he defeated Rick Roberts, who had been the commissioner for 8 years. And before Rick, Jerry, Rick's dad, had been commissioner for over 20 years in that seat. And like anything else, when it becomes stale and stagnant, you're not going to be as efficient and effective as you probably can be. And there were a lot of people complaining about the good old boy system, and people don't listen to them, and the commissioner meetings are too early of the day for anyone to be able to have any input. They have them at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And as you'll hear Tony tell us a little later on, there were some complaints that a lot of the meetings were like 6 and 12 minutes long, just boom in and out and no real discussion at all. So Tony ran on the campaign on the platform of transparency, and let's rein back in some of the spending, and let's talk about a few things instead of just rubber stamping it. And I thought that sounded an awful lot like Clinton County, honestly. So I thought it would be interesting to talk to Tony. And so I hope you all indulge me and stay with us here. Tony is a very down-to-earth Southern Indiana sort of guy. So you'll see what I'm talking about when we talk about him or talk to him here later on this hour. Yesterday morning, before I left for my full-time job, I was able to post a story as I got it confirmed yesterday morning, and thank you, you know who you are, that Frankfort head football coach Jim Byers and the entire staff stepped down. That was like late Monday night or Tuesday, I believe. And there had been some talk about this probably happening, at least with Coach Byers, as he's the head coach. And there was a discussion last week that some people said they saw his house for sale, you know, on the market. I had actually heard from a handful of people, and I didn't say it throughout the season because it's not my place to say it, that if he didn't win at least 3 games, he was going to be out anyway by the school board or the AD or whoever makes that decision. And, of course, the Hot Dogs went 0-9 this season. And I thought that I had a little unique perspective because I have a son, Ramses, who is a sophomore this year at Frankfort. And he's 16, just turned 16. And he is he played football for Coach Byers this year. And not going to lie, he didn't love it. Now, he stuck with it all season long, and I was very proud of him for that because there was some frustration on his part by no doing of his own. I'm not saying he's totally innocent, because he's not. But in many things that he would come home and talk about, especially since he went to all the summer practices they had with, you know, the lifting and the conditioning and everything that goes into it, even before you start the regular football practice season. And I had never heard or had an opinion one way or the other of Coach Byers, other than going back to when I was working at the station across town where the coffee still sucks. A year and a half ago, they've got the Coach's Corner or Coach's Coddling or whatever they call it. And that's on Saturday mornings at 9 or 10 or whatever they, whenever they do that, if they still do that. And they would have Coach Byers on their last season when I still worked there, and you know, it was an 0-9 season, and so they're 0-19, and they're in the throes of an 0-19 losing streak here, a 19 game losing streak at least, going back a season or two. So I know it's tough, and I wanted to talk a little bit about what I observed from Coach Byers, and also about how I don't know that any football coach you put in there with the Frankfort Hot Dogs will be successful. And I'll tell you why. So let me pull up my notes here. Again, this is KNS News and Commentary. Appreciate you dialing us in. And I talked about this earlier in the week when I was talking a little bit about this. So 0-10. This last season that wrapped up a couple weeks ago, or last week with a sectional loss. Last season, 1-9. So they won a game last season. 2022-2023 season, 1-9. 2021-2022 season, 2-7. Actually 5-5 going back to the 2020-2021 season. 2019-2020 was 0-10. 2018-2019 was 0-10. And that was Coach Byers' first year. So the first 2 years he was 0-20 to start his first two seasons. Now, let's go back to the year before that. There was the head coach, a gentleman I don't know, named Eric Davis, 1-9. The year before that with Joel Sinicki, 2-8. The year before that with Coach Mike Quick, 4-6. Mike Quick was the coach in 2014, also 2-8. Mike Quick also the coach in 2013, 5-6. 2012, 3-7. Tom Potts in 2011, 0-10. In 2010, 2011, 4-7 was Tom Potts. Tom Potts actually had a winning record back in 2009. That's the last time Frankfort had a winning record, 7-6 that season. But the season before that with Coach Potts was 1-9. Back in 07, 7-3. So, That's interesting there. And you go back a little bit before that, 8-4 with Coach Brett Colby, 6-5 in 05, 06, and then 5-5 in 04, 05. And that's as far back as I could see with Max Preps. But the point of my story is around 2010, somewhere in there, that's when a large influx of Latinos and Hispanics came into the Frankfort, Indiana area. And this has nothing to do with race or ethnicity. It's just a fact because I figured this out. So although we would have some winning seasons or some competitive seasons going back 10, 15 years ago, once we got the influx of Latinos and these Latino kids started going to Frankfort High School and, in essence, making our school much larger, the average county in the state of Indiana has 10 to 13% Latino, Hispanic. Clinton County has 28%. So there's an exorbitant amount, for some reason, of Latino descent people and that ethnicity being in Clinton County. And would you have all those kids converge on one school like they did back in the early 2010s at Frankfort Community Schools? It's going to what? What's it going to do? It's going to make your school larger, right? And the more students you have, the different class category you are in. And Frankfort is now in class 4A. And that means that we've got to play 4A schools because we have such a large student population of the total number. But here's where the issue is. Latino students don't predominantly play football. They will play baseball. They will play soccer. They will play basketball, and some will play football, but football is not their number one choice. And with the bad name that football has kind of got over the past couple of years with concussions and all this and that, it's, you know, parents are happy to see their kids set out and not play football. I don't think we've quite got to that woke position yet, but Latinos are not playing football, not a majority of them, not on the comparison of where you can make up for it, where you have a large selection of the student body who is coming out for football to make you competitive because you have become a larger school with these Latino students, this influx, and therefore you have to play larger schools, which are generally better at football. So I hope you see the correlation there. It's not anything sleight of hand or anything under the table. It's simply we got more Latinos, which made our student body larger. That put us in a larger class category. And unless those Latino students go out for football, we're going to have the same white kids to choose from and a few Latinos thrown in there as well. And when you have a smaller group of kids going out, your team is just not going to be as competitive. So let me move on a little bit with that. Getting into coach, so my point is, I don't know if any coach, the next coach, any coach can get in there and be successful like the AD or the school board or the superintendent or the community is wanting. I think the chips are stacked against them. The cards are stacked against them. I don't think it's going to be easy to have anything successful that's really worth anything. And even going back before the Latino influx, we weren't that great to start with. Now, I have heard that we have started a feeder program of sorts where they're working with the kids in 5th, 6th, 7th grade, middle school, and that will prepare them and get them that experience where they can be ready to go in varsity and JV, and that is a good thing. That is powerful, and that will help. But it's going to be a long, long road to go. So when I had heard some bad things about Coach Byers prior to this year, like, oh, man, you know, people say, hey, how's your son Ramsey's doing? Oh, he's good. He's playing football. They're, oh, man, oh, Jesus, I can't believe that. You're going to hate Coach Byers, man. Guess what he did? Guess what I heard, you know, and all this. And I don't ever, ever take any of that to heart. I want to make up my own mind when it comes to people instead of people telling me how to feel about people. And so I gave Coach Byers a fair shot at that. Now, when we got at the beginning of the season, after when school started, Coach Byers had a team meeting with the parents, and we all met over at the auxiliary gym there, by Case Arena. And we were in there for 15, 20 minutes, and Coach Byers was going through his rules and what he expected. And I thought, you know, I like this guy. He seems like no bullshit, no nonsense, a hard worker. I know his dad, who I think a lot of, who owns Winsky's here in Frankfort. And I've known him for a couple of years, and I like him a lot. And I thought, you know, he comes from good stock. And I liked what I heard from Coach Byers. Now, I never got a chance to meet him that much, and I never got a chance to talk to him a whole lot, but I heard a lot of the kids loved him in track when he was a track coach. But he said two things that really disturbed me in that parents' meeting. One was, when we have fall break, don't even think about taking a vacation, because if your kid is not here for practice, he won't play when we come back from fall break, because he would have missed some practices, because we still practice over fall break. So you are not allowed, he said, to take a vacation over fall break. And I thought, screw you. You know, who are you to tell me that when I can't take a vacation with my family? Now, in the Biden economy, we can't afford a damn vacation, okay? So, joke's on you. But I didn't like that. And I had heard that that was the case, and that we would probably hear that, because I had another parent had told me that, who had a kid that graduated last year who played a couple years under Coach Byers. And that really pissed that parent off, that he had said something. And that parent actually always went on a fall break, and they went on fall break, and there was apparently Byers or some coaches said, I guess they don't want their boy to play, or I guess he's not committed to Frankfurt hot dog football. And that works two ways. Number one, don't tell me when I can and can't take a vacation, okay? And number two, this isn't the freaking NFL, and your teams are not 10-0 or 8-2 or 7-3 or even 500 at 5-5. Okay, we're talking about high school football with the Frankfurt Hot Dogs, who have not won a game in two or three, maybe won three games in 5 years under Coach Byers. So, you know, if it was a powerhouse program and it was highly competitive, I guess I could maybe understand it a little bit more, but not much more, honestly. The second thing that bothered me that night at the parent meeting with Coach Byers was he said, don't schedule any doctor's appointments after school when we have practice, because if your kid isn't there, he's going to be riding the bench, because he missed practice. And when do we generally schedule dental appointments and doctor's appointments and other things? After school, if we can, right? If we have to, we'll do it during school, and sometimes that's the case. But Byers went on to say, do it during math class. Schedule it during math class throughout the day, because everybody hates math. And I know it was probably a little tongue-in-cheek, but it was kind of tasteless, too, and it kind of pissed me off. Because, you know, it's hard enough getting kids around for practice if they don't have their licenses yet, and both parents trying to work a job and do everything, and it just really, it really put me off. There were a couple times when I didn't agree with how the assistant coaches treated some of the players, and I don't mean like they need to coddle them or anything, but it seemed like there were certainly some favorites played when Shell and I would go to the JV games and a couple of the varsity games we went to. And with the JV, we didn't even have enough students to field, enough players to field a JV team for three of our 10 games or nine games this year. So we had to forfeit those. After the JV came out and won their first two games, ironically, against Clinton Prairie and Clinton Central. So that gave us a little hope for the future, but then there wasn't even enough kids to play. So they had to put some of these younger kids on varsity and give them some playing time, which they did. And I thought that was fair. But, you know, that's a little bit of a problem too. The other thing is, I know Coach Byers was the varsity coach, and that's the team that he needs to be paying attention to. But when we would go over Saturday mornings to the JV games, it seems like Coach Byers he was on the sidelines with the team, but he wasn't turned toward the field. It's like he didn't watch a damn play all season long for the JV games. It's like he was turned around looking at the stands and joking with the girls who have the bottled water for the players, and always smiling and laughing and goofing off, it looked like. And he wasn't paying a damn bit of attention to the game. Not hardly at all. He was barely turned around watching it. And that kind of turned me off, too. If you're going to be the coach, you should be the coach. You should be right there by your JV coaches and leading them and everything. So that was just a couple thoughts I had on Coach Byers. And I had heard that he's going to continue to teach, and I know that a lot of students like him in that capacity. So I certainly wish Coach Byers the best, and the entire staff stepped down. So I don't know what that looks like other than it's going to be a full, fresh team of coaches next year for Community Schools of Frankfort High School and varsity football team. We're going to take a break. Let's thank our community-minded partners. We've got Center Township of Clinton County, Heather's Flowers of Frankfort, The Oasis Frankfort, Wappler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gym City Junction, Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch, Sanford and Daughter in Mulberry, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, and Pro Bike Computers. Coming back next with Tony Cardwell, the Washington County Commissioner District candidate 3 in Southern Indiana. That's next here from the KNS Radio Network.
This is Jets Animal Services, here to help you with your outdoor cats. We can also help you with your inside cats. If you would like a low-cost option to fix your outdoor or indoor cats to help control the cat population, please call us for all the details on packages. Our number is 765-586-2628. We're here to help. Please note, we do not relocate or remove any outdoor cats.
There is a group in Lebanon making a real difference in the lives of Boone County's previously incarcerated, particularly women who are trying their best to get their lives back on track. It's called Live for Life Indiana. Their mission statement? To reunite, support, and strengthen families by providing housing first. It can be hard to successfully manage life after incarceration and while trying to remain in addiction recovery. Live for Life can help by providing rental deposits, monthly rental assistance, mini grants for housing-related expenses, and connecting women to a mentor to help them with life skills and overall navigation through their new life. They use a self-help, empowerment approach as they assist with budgeting, financial support, and advocacy in working to reunite families. They work for social change through education, service, and collaboration. Rebuilding lives, restoring hope. Live for Life Indiana. Contact them via their website at www.liveforlifeindiana.org. Again, that's www.liveforlifeindiana.org.
Just imagine, next summer when it's hotter than blazes, you get into your car after it's been sitting out in the sun, and it's like, feels pretty good. Thanks to Marchand's Window Tinting. Window tinting has all kinds of benefits. Along with keeping your car's interior cooler, tinting protects upholstery, blocks harmful UV rays, offers shatter protection, and makes your car look cool. We stick it where the sun shines. Marchand's Window Tinting, 4015 South State Road 39 in Frankfort. Google them today.
Kevin Keith here for the KNS Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining me today. On the phone, I've got a real treat for you folks. His name is Tony Cardwell. He's a Washington County, Indiana, Commissioner District 3 candidate. Full disclosure, Tony and I have known each other for many years. I'm from the Southern Indiana, Washington County area. We have been Masons together in the past. We're from the same part of the county, pretty much. He's lucky enough to still be there. I unfortunately had to move away and haven't made it back to Washington County yet. But Tony Cardwell, thank you for joining me today. How's things in God's country?
It's going wonderful down here. Leaves are changing and everything's beautiful.
It is beautiful down there. Well, I follow politics pretty closely on a national level, and I talk about it here on KNS. And I also follow politics on a local level. And we in Clinton County, just like you in Washington County, next Tuesday, will be electing another commissioner or two. We'll be electing one and or two rather, but both of them are uncontested Republicans, so it's kind of a foregone conclusion there. But every now and then, I know Washington County is a lot predominantly Republican, but every now and then you'll have a Democrat slip in there. We'll talk about that in a minute. But since you've never ran for political office, I wanted to ask you, how old are you, Tony?
I'm 54.
54, okay. You're 4 years only older than me. Going back to before the primary, what made you decide to throw your hat in the ring, whether it was a year and a half ago, because you've not ever ran for any political office? And you may not consider yourself a quote-unquote politician, but what made you finally go get registered to run?
This was something I thought about doing for from years ago, always working on the highways and stuff like that. People always said I'd make a good one, and it basically came to time my age and life and everything that it was time to get it or not do it. So I decided to go ahead and do it.
And I'm guessing that you probably had a lot, like you said, you probably had a lot of people who were, if people know you, Tony, they know you're a very plain spoken, common sense guy. And I think that probably was attractive to a lot of people. That's probably why they said you ought to go do this.
Correct. Yes.
So back in the May primary, how did you campaign going up against Rick Roberts, who has been there for, I think, 8 years? And prior to that, his dad, Jerry, was a commissioner for over 20 years in that same position. How did you campaign against the legacy of the Robertses?
Went out and beat down doors, knocked on over about 1,500 doors during the primary, and just kept at it and wrote a letter and mailed it out to about 3,000 voters and just kept plugging away until the election day itself. So.
Of course, you never know until election day what the results are going to be, but how did you truly, honestly feel going into the May primary? Did you feel pretty confident, or did you think, well, I might get this, I might not?
Well, I felt like I had a 50-50 shot, to be honest with you, mm-hmm. you know, talking to people and mm-hmm. everything. Ended up winning by almost 12%, so I was
pleasantly surprised. Right, absolutely. When you were out there on the campaign trail leading up to the primary, what did you hear that people were frustrated with, whether it was with the Robertses and kind of a rubber stamp, and maybe they just always do the same thing and take care of their friends or have the good old boy system, or what was people, why did they want to change?
Well, they, for one thing, the transparency, like the meetings, they have them at 8 o'clock in the morning where people are at work and voices can't be heard and all that. And then when the meetings do happen, they're only, heck, I went to one time, it was only 12 minutes long. So,
yeah,
you know, that's not a good way of being transparent to people.
That
was one of the major problems.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the commissioners is a very powerful position for just having three seats in the county. So you would like to think that they would need more than 12 minutes to get the county's business done, because they're dealing with thousands and hundreds of thousands and sometimes millions of dollars.
Exactly. That's a concern. I know I didn't go to this particular one, but the lady had recorded it and it was only 6 minutes long. So
wow.
There's definitely stuff being discussed behind doors instead of being done properly at the meetings. So.
Yeah, I understand, you know, trying to be efficient and maybe talking a little bit prior, but already having it, it sounds like buttoned up and wrapped up, and you get in there in a 6-minute meeting, man, that's almost comical.
Exactly. Yeah.
What else did you, was there anything else that you heard specifically, Tony, when you were on the campaign trail in the primary besides transparency?
Oh yeah. The letting and bidding process for the work and everything, we got, you know, it's not fair to the other contractors there that they don't get noticed or able to bid on the work or even have the opportunity to do such. So that was a major problem that I heard about.
Mm-hmm. What, you know, I think from what I've covered with county commissioners, whether it's here in Clinton County or other radio stations I've worked at throughout the state, it seems like you have, that's a very much paid attention aspect of the commissioner's job is the bidding and letting process, to where it's like a law. You have to advertise it and you have to give everyone a fair shot. If not, it's actually illegal.
Right. I think they do the minimum that they can get by with, you know, so that's part of the problem. I always said we needed a pre-qualified contractors list or whatnot. Like, not all work gets led or bidded on if it's not a certain amount. And, you know, they just give all that out to one contractor instead of distributing it amongst others.
Right. So. And sometimes I've heard there's even a rule or a law or maybe an unwritten rule that you have to go with the lowest bidder. Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully you're still getting the same quality, but if you're, if you've got a politician in bed with a company, they can also talk behind closed doors and know what they need to come in and bid on, and they're going to get it every time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sounds like it could be a little shady. And that goes back to transparency as well, right? You know?
Right, right. It's all, a lot of that boils down to that. So that one word.
What does Washington County, it's been 20 years since I've lived there as a resident. What are some of the ordinances that have been recently talked or discussed or passed that is some of the topics that Washington County residents are concerned about?
Well, the hot topic right now is a noise ordinance that just got passed like 2 meetings ago, where if it's for all the unincorporated areas of Washington County, which means out in the country, you know, and it only excludes farm equipment. So if you're out there playing your radio after 10 o'clock at night and somebody hears your radio playing up through the holler, they can call and you can get $1,000 fine. So I've heard a lot of that's been, people been mad about that here recently. So,
well, I guess $1,000 would get their attention, but you think that maybe, maybe you'd give them like a warning first or like a $50 fine first.
Right. But there, I mean,
or more importantly, if it's your damn property out in the middle of the country, why don't you just mind your own business if we're talking about
exactly, that. Exactly. I mean, so dogs barking or babies crying, you know, whatever they want, they could, it's at the officer's discretion is the way they word it. So,
yeah, that could be good and bad.
And then they got other ordinances too, like your certain land sizes and this and that before you can build a house. And some of that goes, they passed recent laws at the state level for septic systems and all that, and our county does not abide by the state laws. They got ordinances that supersede that. Well, you can't go against state law, you know.
So that
got brought to their attention, and one of the commissioners said, well, and the next person who's got a problem with it can just more or less sue us, challenge us. Well, you know, then you're who's got the money to spend $20,000-$30,000 to sue the commissioner? You know.
Wow. Yeah, that's not something
anyone wants. He literally said that at a meeting.
So. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's just asking for trouble. You can't take on the state very often, and, you know.
You can't pass an ordinance that supersedes state law.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So you've been still campaigning over the last 6 to 7 months, getting ready for the general election coming up next Tuesday. I understand you've got a Democrat running against you, and you also have a Libertarian running against you. Has there been some of the people that you beat in that group that probably wasn't real happy about you winning in the primary, have they been wishing you well or helping out with the Republican Party, or how does that go with the party?
No, the one I beat actually had nothing to do with me whatsoever. So he's actually the one to talk the Democrat into running against me, and they've made it no secrets that that's how he got involved and got running.
Wow. Well, what have you done to campaign here and ensure that you're going to get a victory next Tuesday night? I guess you went back and knocked on those 1,500 doors and thanked everybody?
Yeah, I went around. I'm still knocking on doors, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm haven't quit that. Just matter of fact, got done knock. I think I went to 47 houses today, knocking on doors.
Wow. I think that was probably quite, like I mentioned at the beginning, that was probably quite a shock to some old school Republicans in Washington County, and probably a lot of the voters. But you won by 12%, like I said, over a legacy family that's been there and held that position for over 20 years.
Yes.
So that's pretty awesome, and that's pretty much a mandate on people wanting some change. I mean, the voters spoke.
I believe it's time for change about everywhere, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hoping that happens too next Tuesday night on a national level when it comes to Trump and Harris. So
I'll be up watching it just like I did in 2020.
Right. And 2016. I stayed up late to watch Trump win those battleground states. It was great beating Hillary. I still love that.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he'll beat Harris too next Tuesday night. The Democrats don't cheat too much.
Hopefully that there's not a blue dot and a red wave anywhere.
Right. Tony, so you're in the home stretch here. You said you're still knocking on doors. You're going to be probably doing that up until next Tuesday. What does the next 6 or 7 days look like? Is there anything that you can to do that you haven't done that might put you over the top? Because, you know, anytime you have a Libertarian and three candidates for one position, that Libertarian Party could actually take some votes away from the Republican or the Democrat and maybe actually hurt you a little bit or hurt the Democrat. Do you have any plans to do you go out and speak or get in front of audiences or anything?
I would be on WSLN the day before the election, Monday, next Monday, on her coffee show.
Mm-hmm. Coffee
and
Club.
Other than that, I've done several, several appearances and this and that, and just down to knocking on doors.
Right, right. Kind of in the home stretch now. Well, is there anything else you want to leave us with before I let you go here today, Tony?
No, other than that, I've always set goals in my life, and I intend on achieving this one. So, and hopefully, do Washington County some good, make some changes.
Well, I'm awful proud of you. That's for sure. I remember I was so surprised when you went down to put your signature on the registration to run in the May primary. I saw it on Facebook. And I texted my brother Kyle, and I told him, I said, you will not believe who's running for county commissioner in Washington County. And I told him, and he's like, oh, good. And I told him who he's running against. He said, well, he may not have much of a shot. And then when you won on in May, I texted him, and we were both pulling for you up here, man. It was we were both proud of you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tony, thank you.
It was definitely an upset. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I hope you finish things strong, man, and thanks for talking to me, and it's always nice to talk to you on a personal level, and best of luck next Tuesday.
I appreciate it and appreciate your time taking out of your day to help me out here.